going to go to the book of Romans. Amen. Book of Romans. Thank you, Jesus. The 8th chapter of Romans. Hallelujah. And I'm going to start verse number 18, 8th chapter of Romans. For I reckon, that sounds like Arkansas talk. Amen. 18th verse, 8th chapter of Romans. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. We can skim through these verses, and probably many of us have over and over through the years. And, you know, you can scratch on the surface over and over and over and still miss what's just underneath. You can dig, but if you don't dig far enough, you don't get what you're digging for. You know, you can try to see if there's something there to be discovered, and it may be there. And there's a lot of good things here in the Word of God, and we won't find them all tonight, but we'll look at some. Amen. We'll look at some. Hallelujah. Amen. For I reckon the sufferings of this soul, present time that we're going through. Brother Pat, the sufferings we're going through. Sister Vicki, the sufferings we're going through. I could name each one of you. Probably every one of you could say, I'm going through some sufferings. Reckon you are. Yep, I reckon we all are. But I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And you might ask yourself the question, what does that mean? When is this all going to happen? You know, and you can read that, and just on the surface it looks like that's talking about someday. Someday, good things are going to happen. But if you could only realize, this is talking about the glory that's revealed in us now during this present time. Amen. This is the gold I'm searching for here tonight. If we can just realize, this is very simple. This Word of God is very simple. And it's not, you don't have to read way down, you know, way far out to find things that it might mean. You just read the words, and the writers inspired of God, as they followed God, and then as the ones who wrote it down at various times followed directions under authority to do it right, and God was in that too, even in the translators. God preserves His Word. And even the italics that are not necessarily, when they didn't know exactly what word to use because of the differences in the languages and the words, and they put it in italics to leave it open for interpretation. God was in the italics too. You can read the italics, and you can rest assured the reason we have the Word of God, italics and all, is because God wanted us to have it just like it is so we could find the truth. Amen. It's here. It's here to be discovered. Amen. And the sufferings of this present time, no matter what it is, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And you can have this happen at the same time you're having the sufferings. You can realize, hey, praise God, God's with me right now in the midst of this trial. You can come to the realization, and it can be revealed to you, all things do work together for the good of those who love God and are the called according to His purpose. I love God. I've been called. God loves me. Amen. And we're not, you know, we're not left alone. I'm not going through this problem by myself. God knows where I am. And you get to thinking on these things, pretty soon you'll start rejoicing in the midst of trouble. You'll start praising God for the strength to endure the things that you have to endure. In fact, you'll get such a blessing, it'll far outweigh any suffering you're going through, just for the realization that no matter what, everything's all right. If you can have that revealed to you during your suffering moments, hallelujah. Amen. That's glory that shall be revealed. Amen. Not just someday when you get to heaven. Sure, we're all going to be all right when we get to heaven. When you get to heaven, you don't have to have a lot of stuff revealed to you then. We shall know as we are known. It's one of the ways that a scripture puts it concerning the subject of love. But when that which is perfect is come, it can't get any more perfect than being in heaven with Jesus. Hallelujah. Then we shall know as we are known. Or at any other time when you really get love in your life just right, you can know as you are known. That has to do with knowledge and God's knowledge and God's love and God's way of dealing with things. But praise God, we're not talking about someday when I get to heaven, it's going to be revealed to me why I went through what I went through. In fact, it may not be revealed to you now why you went through what you went through. But you may be praying and not knowing how to pray. And this passage deals with that also. Amen. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, who is this creature? Who's it? Is this some monster out in the deep blue sea? And actually, it's just talking about, it's using language here, but it's talking about things that have to do with flesh and spirit, physical and spiritual. And we're waiting for the power of God to move in a situation, right? You're the creature. You're the creature that's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Well, who are the sons of God? Well, it's going to be you too. What it is, you're waiting for the blessing to come in all this. We're waiting for the manifestation of the power of God in our lives. Hallelujah. And the groaning, hurting, suffering part of us needs a break sometimes. Sometimes we just need something to happen to make things all better. You know, like Mama used to take us up in her arms and say, everything's going to be all better now. Mama's got you. You're going to be all better. Okay, let me kiss the hurt away. Amen. That's the way this works. It's going to be all better. But we're waiting for that. And we're wondering, when is it going to happen? Oh, I've been going through this so long, things are just terrible. I've waited, I've tried, I've prayed, I've done this, I've done that, I'm at wit's end, I think about giving up sometimes. Well, what profit would that be? You know, if you were on a real fast roller coaster and you wanted to get off, you don't jump off while it's going across that high. No matter how dizzy you are, how sick you are, No matter how much you wish you hadn't got on it in the first place, you don't throw up your hand and say, I'm just going to give up. No, no, no. Wait till the roller coaster stops. Don't get off the roller coaster until you're safe and secure. Don't jump off the merry-go-round while it's still going around and around. Don't throw in the towel while you're still hurting and sick and suffering. Wait for the manifestation of God's power working in your life. Hallelujah. That's the time to give up, and then you just give up and give in to God. Amen. Give up on all the things that you might be trying to understand. Let God manifest His power in your life. For the creature was made subject to vanity. Not willingly. I didn't choose to be vain. I don't think anybody here chose to have vanity in your life. But the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption, the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation, and that's not talking about the world and the sun and the stars and the planets and all the galaxies. The sun and the stars and the moon don't groan. The creation is talking about is the creature that's suffering and going through some things right now in this present time. Just about to find out and have it revealed to you that all of this that you're going through is not worthy to be compared to the glory that's about to be revealed in you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also. And there are a lot of italics along in here. And you can... It's just talking about whether you're not serving God or serving God. You're going to go through sufferings and trials, and you're going to be waiting on an answer. You're going to be looking for an answer. You're going to be looking for some help. Amen. And we also go through these things. Amen. And not only they, but we also ourselves, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. You know, and it's not that we haven't already been made sons of God. But sometimes we need to be reminded we are children of God. We need to be brought back to the awareness, I have a Father. And He knows where I am. And He has the power to rescue. He has the power to set us free. He has the power to turn things around for us. Amen. Even we church people, ourselves, we groan within ourselves. You ever groaned within yourself? How many of you have ever gone through a groaning time? Amen. We groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by what? Hope. And hope that is seen is not hope. You know, if Jesus or if somebody stood out before you, I'll take that whenever you want to get it. I like to get mail. If somebody stood out before you and said, I have all your answers right now, so don't worry anymore, don't fret, don't think about your problems because they're all solved. That would take care of a whole lot of suffering, you know. We would stop But you know what? Then you might miss a blessing. Because part of the operation of God to make us all better is to help us realize we need to trust Him. We need to look to Him. We need to go to Him. We need to depend on Him. We need to want Him. We need to love Him. We need to realize that we are His children and He is our Heavenly Father. And if somebody comes along and takes care of all the problems, amen, it might rob us of some of the things that could be such a blessing to us. Amen. So that we could say, hey, I want to give God the glory. There's no way this could have been worked out if God hadn't stepped in. There's no way that this problem could have been solved if the saints of God hadn't been praying. And I hadn't been waiting with patience for God to manifest His power in my life. There's no way that I would have come to the conclusion that all things do work together for the good in the midst of this trial, this situation, this suffering. But now at last, while I've been waiting, while I've been looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, I have come to the realization that I have a lot to be happy about. Hallelujah. I have a lot to rejoice about. I have a lot to praise God for, because nobody helped me. Nobody. When I looked on my right, when I looked at my on my left, there was nobody. Refuge failed me. Nobody cared for my soul. Praise God. I give God all the glory, because I've been brought out of the miry clay. I have been brought through the valley of despair. I have been brought out of darkness into light. I have been changed from the creature that I was into something that's crying out, Abba, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. And nobody did that but God. And I give God all the glory. Amen. And this glory is so far superior, so far above any suffering, any hurting, anything that had me down. Amen. This is so far beyond comparison that there's no comparison at all. Because, you know, we heard Sister Vicki tonight talking about how God heals. But look at the condition she's in. You know, and the person who is just a creature groaning, but not waiting for the adoption, not waiting for the manifestation, not waiting, not looking into Jesus, not having this hope, not thinking on the hope, and not looking forward to the hope. Just a creature groaning and hurting, out there looking from the darkness, might say, I don't get it. Here's a person, all these problems and sicknesses and terminal things happening in her life according to medical science, yet smiling and talking and sometimes laughing and saying, God heals. Hallelujah. He's a healer. You know what she's doing? She's manifesting something. That there is something in God going on in her life that cancer cannot affect. Tumors cannot affect. Strokes cannot affect. Feeling bad and hurting and being in pain does not stop this wonderful knowledge that God is a healer. That God is the one who blesses us. That God is the one that we look to. And when you get on this foundation of assurance that God is your God, and nothing else can stop that from being true, then you can just rest assured, no matter what you're going through, that glory will soon be revealed. And is being revealed. And will continue to be revealed. And you're going to have some reason to say, thank you, Jesus, all along the way. If you only knew how many times you've been healed, you wouldn't spend so much time complaining about all the ailments you might be going through. Hallelujah. We're in human bodies. Our bodies are dying. We all have physical problems. There are things going wrong, and we're all getting older, and our hair is turning gray, turning loose, falling off, and our wrinkles are coming, and things are happening. We're human. Praise God. God didn't promise that we're going to be in this mortality body forever. It's appointed a man wants to die. How do you die? You get sick. You have a wreck. You have a heart attack. Because the curse that's on the world has brought about all the diseases. And even if you're a Christian, you're subject to the things that do go wrong in life. But in God's way of looking at it, you're His child. And although you're walking through this valley and you're going through this time of struggle and you're in the midst of all these curses that are in the world, God has redeemed you. God has redeemed you. He has redeemed your life. He has redeemed you from destruction. He has brought you to a point of being able to acknowledge Him in all your ways. Even if you're sick, Even if you're hurting, even if you're homeless, even if you don't see any hope and no way out, still hope, still trust, still believe, still look unto Jesus. Hallelujah. Because we're going to go through these things, ups and downs, ups and downs, ups and downs. But when it's all over, when it's all over, the people who are the children of God, who were able to shout when it looked like there was nothing to shout about, able to praise God when it looked like there was ever reason to complain, the people who were able to say, "Thank you, Jesus," when it seemed like everything was going against them, when they have endured to the end, amen, it'll make all of this life seem as only a flashing moment, an eternity where we feel rejoicing, happiness, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more dying, no more grief, no more hurt feelings. Hallelujah. You don't have to wait to heaven till you get to heaven to experience some of these things. If you want to get your feelings hurt, you can, but why go through that? If I, you know, I've been called so many names. I could not tell you all the names I've been called, but some of them are awful. I had people say things to me that a few years ago would have really hurt my feelings. And you know, if I would let it, I can choose right now to let my feelings get hurt. I can decide I'm going to let my feelings get hurt. We all have that ability. You can decide I'm going to get my feelings hurt. This has vexed me, it bothers me, so I'm going to pout. You know, you can go around with a chip on your shoulder. You can have this mind start thinking these thoughts. You know, this has happened, that's happened. They said this, they did that. And you let yourself go in that direction, sure, you'll get your feelings hurt. And you'll get down and you'll start moaning and you'll start groaning and you'll start hurting. And you'll start saying, well, nobody loves me. Nobody cares. Everything's wrong. The whole world's rotten. And if you choose to live that way, that's your choice. But I choose to live better than that. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't want you to spit on me, but if you do, I'm not going to get down and wallow in your spit. Hallelujah. I'm going to walk on. You could say something bad, and that may hurt for a moment, but I'm not going to linger on that. I have a God who loves me. I have a Savior who has redeemed me. I have a friend in Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I want to go on in just a moment. Let's take a break and pray for Rainbow Queen. Sister Linda has tumors on her vocal cords, needs prayer right now. Let's pray. Jesus, we're asking you, Lord, to touch her now. Touch this vocal cord. Lord, I know that she is very much concerned and worried about what could be going on there, but you know all the situation, God. And you can bring her back with a testimony in the next few days that everything is all right. I ask you, God, to touch her in Jesus' name. And help her to know that you've done this in Jesus' name. You know, I got a whole lot more hope in that prayer than I do anything else that may happen at the hospital. I thank God for the doctors. Thank God for the hospital. And I'm glad they're there. And I'm glad there's a place we can go to get some physical help. But none of that's compared to what we just now did. Oh, look, we just talked to Jesus. And Jesus just listened to us talk. Jesus heard that prayer. Now we can rest in hope. Jesus knows we're praying. Jesus has made promises when we touch and agree on some things that He's going to hear us, that we can ask. And we can knock and we can seek, and He has made promises that He will respond. And so now we trust His Word. If it doesn't look like it's happening, trust Him anyhow. If it doesn't feel right, trust Him anyhow. Don't give up just because it doesn't feel right. Don't quit. Don't stop trusting. Amen. So we hope for that which we don't see. Amen. I spent almost 20 years walking with a crippled foot. And it's given me some problems even now, but not like it did back in those years. When I was a child, I broke my leg, and I've told it many times. And it was set by a man who was not really a doctor. He just claimed to be a doctor. He later went to prison. He was supposed to be a cancer specialist, and he wasn't even a doctor. And I didn't have cancer, but he was the closest thing to a doctor we had in our community, and so they took me there. His name was Dr. Faircloth. That was during the days when they couldn't get me to the doctor, they just gave me more Hadacol. And so they took me there, and he put my leg in a cast, didn't set it. He didn't know how to set one, evidently. So he just put it in, broken bones and all, just like they were. And I grew up with my left foot sticking out sideways to the left. In order for me to walk straight, I had to turn my left knee inward. And it was pinching a nerve in the upper part of my foot. Every time I'd put my foot on the ground, it was an excruciating pain. It just hurt so bad. And when I would sit in a chair and have my foot out, if somebody just walked by and just touched my foot, a terrible pain went through. It was a horrible thing. I went through this for almost 20 years. Just living in pain, that foot hurt all the time. It never stopped hurting. It just hurt. I groaned with it. Sometimes I would cry. It just ached and it ached and it ached. And when I'd walk, it would hurt. But I had to go through school limping. Kids would make fun of me. And they would say things about me. And they would walk like me. And it, you know, not only did my foot hurt, but they hurt my feelings. Kids can be really cruel at school. Well, I walked into the house one day and I just sat down crying about my foot and about my feelings. I talked to my daddy. And I said, "Dad, nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I'm no good." And I just started crying. And he sat down beside me and just let me cry. He just let me cry. And he didn't say much. He said, "Go ahead, tell me what's wrong." "Nobody loves me. Everybody makes fun of me." And I just boo-hooed. "Nobody cares. I'm crippled. I can't do anything. I can't do what they do. I can't be accepted. Every time they choose somebody on a ball team, they make fun of me. They don't care if I play or don't play. I can't run. I can't keep up with people. Nobody wants me." He said, "Go on. Tell me what's bothering you." And I just cried. "I'm no good. I'm worthless. I'm just no good." He says, "Is that all? Is that all you want to say?" "Well, I'm just no good, Daddy. I'm no good. Everybody hates me." And I couldn't think of anything else to say except just, "I'm no good. Everybody hates me. Nobody cares. I'm a misfit." And he let me go on like that for a long time. You know what I was doing all that time? I was waiting on anything to be said to make me feel better. And I knew I had the one sitting next to me. We were sitting on the edge of my bed. He was sitting there with his arm around me and on my shoulder while I cried and poured my little heart out. I was just a little kid. And he said, "Is there anything else you want to say?" I just kept saying the same stuff. And he said, "Well," then he just let me wait. Oh, you know, my heart was saying, "Come on, tell me whatever it is you're going to say." You know, I was just desperately waiting on him to come up with something to make me feel better. Because kids are human beings too. Children have feelings. Children get frustrated. Children get discouraged. Children get down. Things happen. And people don't understand sometimes what a child may be going through. But if you could remember far enough back, you remember you went through some things too. Remember those struggles as a child, as a teenager, some of the things you went through? Amen. And he just started talking. He didn't say much. But he said a few things like, "You know, there's some really good stuff inside of you. that needs to be discovered. I didn't know what he was talking about, but it sounded good. It sounded a lot better than all I'd been saying. I'm no good. I'm not worthy. I'm not fit. I'm not worthy of anything. Nobody likes me. I can't do anything. Everybody makes fun of me. He said, son, oh, that even felt good. I was at a place where I didn't even think my daddy cared about me anymore. He called me son. Son, I love you. You know, as far back before that moment, I can't remember my daddy ever telling me he loved me. I know he did, but I don't remember him ever telling me he loved me before that. And I can't remember him telling me he loves me since then. But I know he loved me before and since. But there was that one moment he felt a need to let that little boy know, I love you. Hallelujah. And that meant so much to me. To know my daddy loves me. To know my daddy loves me. I knew it, but to hear him say it, it did something for me. And I kept listening. And he said some things that absolutely put me on a course and a direction that has affected my life and affected many lives during that 15-minute time on the edge of a bed when I was just a child. He said just a few words in my desperate moments of groaning and complaining that turned my life around. This is my natural daddy. He said, son, you like music, don't you? Yes. You know what? What, daddy? While all these kids are running and doing all this stuff, you could be discovering what could happen with music that you like so much by pouring your heart into it and studying it and learning it. And while they're thinking that they're big somebodies, you can really become somebody. And he said, you can learn to play musical instruments. You can sing, and who knows what God could do with all that if you would just put forth some effort and go that direction. He said, that way, you don't have to worry about your crippled foot. You don't have to worry about not being accepted, because what does it matter? You're doing something you want to do, and it doesn't matter what they think. You know, I started liking him talking like that. And I started seeing it. I started seeing myself. I couldn't write at that time. I could just play a few notes on the piano. I could strum on the guitar just a little bit. I wanted to be able to do these things. I couldn't play a trumpet yet. I couldn't play a trombone yet. I couldn't play any of the band instruments yet. I could not even sing very well without squeaking. My voice was all messed up. My voice was changing during about that time a little bit. And it was just, I was just a messed up creature. And I went from that moment, leaning on those words, when I was feeling like there's nothing that I can hold on to. My natural earthly father gave me a few words that set my direction and caused me to do many things that I have done in the music field since then. If you could just spend that much time with Jesus, no telling what can happen for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right now he said, I love you. And there's some things in you that need to be discovered. I know what they are. What is it you like? What do you want to do? Ask what you will and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open. Amen. And we're waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God to be revealed. Amen. Amen. Well, just let it happen. You're the son of God. You're the child of God. If you can only know it. Let me hurry up and get through here. Or say continue later maybe. We're saved by hope. Hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, he doesn't hope for? Why would he hope for that? But if you can't see it, then you hope for it. You want it. If we hope for that we don't see, then in patience we wait for it. When Dad got through talking to me, I was hoping I could learn to play a trumpet. Couldn't play one, but I hoped I could. I was hoping I could learn to read music. I couldn't read a note, but I was hoping I could learn. I was hoping I could learn to play the trombone, saxophone. But all I had was hope. If they'd put a trumpet in my hand right then, I wouldn't have known what to do with it, but I hoped I would know someday. Amen. I dreamed and hoped of being able to play the piano. I could only play in the key of C, and I messed up then. And if they wanted me to play, I had to play in the key of C because I didn't know how to play in the other key. And I didn't even know it was the key of C until later. But it was something I could do pretty easy. And when they say go to G, I didn't know what they were talking about. But I had hopes that one day I would know what they're talking about. Hallelujah. Now, if all of a sudden somebody had walked in and said, let me give you all this knowledge now. Right now, from this moment forward, you know how to play the trombone. You know how to play the trumpet. You know how to play the piano. You can do this. You can do that. You can write music. You can sing. You can make records. You can do this. And you can do all that. If somebody had walked in the room and given me all of that ability right at that moment, I would have had nothing to hope for. It would have been something that I could do, but I mean, I want to tell you something. You don't know the struggles I went through to learn to play a trumpet. But I wanted to learn to play one bad enough that I stuck with it when everybody else hid from me. I stuck with it when Dad said, get out of the house! We can't have a conversation for you blowing that thing. But he was the one that told me to hope for this. I stuck with it. I stuck with it when Dad said, I tell you what you do. You go down to the church. You stay down there. But I'm saying, you know what? I could have had my feelings hurt. I could have said, Daddy doesn't want me. Mama doesn't want me. I knew better than that. I knew that what I had a hold of and what I was going for and what I wanted to do, that I was going to have to work at it because it was hard for me. Everything I touched seemed like it was difficult. I couldn't make the horn play. I couldn't make the piano do right. Nothing worked right. I didn't understand the notes. Nothing was right. And when I would try to practice and figure it out, they'd run me off. But there was something in me that said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I know I can do this. I'm going to do this. And so I found myself down at the church because they gladly gave me permission to go down to the church. Amen. It's a couple of blocks away. Out of their hair, out of their hair. And they knew I was safe because I was so absorbed in wanting to learn this stuff. They would walk in to check on me once in a while. I'd be sitting there with an electric bass guitar in my lap, an accordion strapped on my side, had the piano pulled over to the organ. I had it sitting there, and I had a guitar leaning up against this side of me, and I had the organ right here, and I was just playing a song, and I was hitting that accordion, doodle-doodle-doo, and hitting that bass once in a while, and they became amused. They started liking that. Pretty soon, they started bringing other people, and I was just down at the church. They ran me off to get me to go somewhere else to learn this stuff. And I went where they were not bothering me either. And I started learning it and I couldn't get enough. And it started making sense. Hey, this goes with that. That goes with this. And they came in one day and I was playing all these instruments at the same time. At the same time. And they were so amused. But it sounded good. It sounded good because it was good. And I went and got the neighbors. Pretty soon the church filled up with people said, look at this. Look at this. It wasn't the same feeling that I had when I was out there on the ball field and they said, we don't want you on our team. Now it was a different feeling. Wow, you're doing something nobody can do. Whoever heard of playing an accordion and a guitar and a bass and an organ and a piano at the same time? But I was doing it. Man, I was doing it. I was going. Hallelujah. And all went back to a time hoping I can learn to do these things. If I were an athlete up here talking about what I went through to be able to win that prize, I could give you a similar story of what I had to endure, what I had to go through, how I had to be alone sometimes. Hallelujah. Or anything else you can think about in life. But there's something inside of each one of us that's crying out for hope. Hope. Get me past this feeling of being down. Get me past this feeling of not knowing what to do. Is there anybody that cares? Here comes Jesus. Tell me a problem. I can only say a few words, but I run out of words. Well, what do you want me to do? Next thing you know, you just sit there and you just don't know what to say. So you just groan. You just groan. But our Heavenly Father knows. He knows. Thank you, Jesus. Let's dig up this gold nugget here as we head for the close. Hallelujah. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. This is not the Son going before the Father going, "Oh, Father, help that man down there." But here's what it is. It's the Spirit of God understanding right where you are, what you're going through. Knowing what your need is. Knowing what it is you're trying to say when all you can do is groan and cry. Knowing with full knowledge it's God Himself with you. Knowing why it is you're crying, why you're hurting, how much you hurt, and what it is that you're trying to say that you can't say. So all you do is just groan, but He gets in the groan. Hallelujah. And He interprets the groan unto Himself. And the Spirit itself makes intercession for you. Because you're trying to say words, but you can't say them, but they still get said. God knows your tears. He knows your heart. He knows your feelings. He knows where you're coming from. And when all you can do is groan, hallelujah, the Spirit itself, amen, takes over and helps. And with groanings that cannot be uttered, He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Hallelujah. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Amen. So next time you get into one of those valleys of despair, amen, valley of the shadow of death, where you feel like, hey, I don't think I can take another step. I don't think I can go any further. Nobody cares. Everything's against me. I don't know what to do. Amen. Just sit down and let God be with you. Just stop. Stop short of, stop before you say some things you shouldn't say. If you say them, back up and tell God you're sorry and start again. He'll forgive you. I mean, we spat out, we say words when we're going through things that we didn't mean. God knows the heart. Hallelujah. If you said something you didn't mean and disappointed yourself, God understands. I'm not saying God approves of it, but there is no condemnation at this moment, right now. There is now no condemnation. Amen to those who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's like He's always been. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just like He said to the woman, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." He didn't just say that to her. Amen. I'm hurting now. Okay, what have you done? A lot. But I'm before you, Lord, and I need help. Well, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. Hallelujah. Let's go from this point. Hallelujah. Amen. What do you need? I don't know how to say it. I don't know how to express it. It's so deep. It's so, I don't know what to say. All I can do is cry. All right, cry and I'll say it for you. Hallelujah. I'll say it through your tears. I'll say it through your groanings. It cannot be uttered and it'll go right into the heart of God. Hallelujah. And it'll be according to the will of God. You don't have to formulate the words. God knows what God wants. And He can fit it together with His will. Let us all stand. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There's something within you that's yet to be discovered. This whole world is rejecting us. If you wanted to, you could just say, I have a right to feel like I feel. Well, sure, we all do. But you also have a right to praise the Lord. Amen. If anybody has a reason to be down, I have a reason to be down. What difference does that make? Who cares? Who's looking for a reason to be down? Hallelujah. We all got all kinds of things we could talk about. Amen. I can't hardly stand the thought of April 22nd coming this year. I don't want April 22nd to get here. But I want to tell you something. And that's my birthday, and I'll be 60 years old. But I want to tell you something. I would rather have it come than not to come. You understand? I don't want to be 60 years old, but yet I'm willing to be 60 years old. Yeah, right. I want to be 59 as long as I can. But you know what? There was a time when I didn't want 50 to come. And I stayed 49 as long as I could. But when April 22nd came, there was nothing I could do. I became 50. And sure as the world, this year on April 22nd, I don't care how hard I try, I'm going to turn 60. I don't want to be 60. But Lord, don't take me so seriously that you cut me off before I get there. I could get down about this. I could say, oh, I don't want to be 60. And I could talk to God about that. God, don't make me be 60. But don't answer that prayer, God. I'm willing to be 60. But we say things we don't really mean. It's just an expression of how we feel. In fact, when it comes time for me to be 80, I don't want to be 80, but I'm willing to be 80. And 90. I hear people say, I don't want to live to be that old. Well, when you get right down to the moment, you may change your mind. Let's all come around the front. Hallelujah. When you get right to that moment, now's your time to die. Praise God. It's always easy to say, someday I don't want to be that old. But when you're that old now, you may want to go for another day that you don't want to be that old. Hallelujah. My grandma, when she was going to be admitted to the nursing home, she was like, I think, 80, close to 88. And she had a real big cancer and just a lot. I mean, she needed some help. They were going to put her in the nursing home. She said, I don't want to go to the nursing home. And one of the family members said, well, Grandma, when people get old, sometimes they go to nursing homes. She said, I don't mind going there when I get old. Hallelujah. Because I'm going to tell you, I don't care how old you are. Amen. You're where you are still alive and you want to feel good. You want to be good. You want to be happy. Amen. And some people live to be a lot older than other people. And you're just as young as you are. Praise God. And you're not going to change it. So if you're 88, 98, whatever it is, make the best of it. You don't know what to say, what to do, and you don't have your teeth where you can find them, can't find your glasses, and you can't remember what you did with your other stuff, and you don't know where you are and what's going on. But one thing you know for sure, I can get over here with God and just say, God, help me. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to act. I don't care how old you are. He's still your friend. And there's something within you that He can still bring out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's praise Him. Let's praise Him. Worship Him. Hallelujah. Don't know what to say? Amen. Just make a sound. Glory. He knows what to say. Thank you, Jesus. He knows what you're trying to say. Oh, yes, He does. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise Him, worship Him, love Him. He's deserving your worship. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He can make a difference in your life right now. The glory that can be revealed is glory that can be revealed this moment. In the midst of your trial, in the midst of your suffering, He wants to reveal to you that you are a child of God. Hallelujah. What you've been waiting for is ready to be manifested right now. Lift up those hands. Lift up that voice. Lift up your hearts to God. You are a child of God. Let it be manifested in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us while we stand here and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. 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 Blessed be your holy name. Blessed be your holy name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus cares when you're hurting, and He knows what you're going through. Amen. He is closer than a brother. Oh, how much He cares for you. Amen. See, God laid it on my heart to sing that song tonight. I felt like that came from God. Laid it on my heart. Turn to that scripture. I felt like that came from God. I didn't choose this message. And I may not have done a real good job of delivering it, but whether I did or whether or not, it was God. And if you received something that gave you some hope, some assurance, it's not the length of the message, it's not my ability to speak it or anybody else's that counts. What is counting is you received something you needed to give you some hope that creature that's been waiting for something to be revealed doesn't have to wait anymore. Amen. There's something glorious in your life right now. Thank you, Jesus. Ready to be revealed. Ready to be manifested. God wants to bring some things out of you that you've always longed for. It's inside of you. Don't believe that it's not. And when you realize that, don't let anybody stop you. You do what you have to do to get to where it is you want to be with God. Hallelujah. Nothing can stop you when you really know what you really want. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. How long did it take for you to change your direction from going to hell to going to heaven? Just a moment. One moment. I don't know how long it took you to get to that moment, but when it happened, suddenly, you were hell-bound for eternity. And all of a sudden, because you were with Jesus, you turned completely around. And all of eternity, with all of its torment, was taken out of your destiny. And now, you're heaven-bound. And now you live victoriously. Just that quick, He can still do things in your life. Praise God. Just as quickly as He turns you around, He can turn you around from your problems and your hurts and your pains and your sorrows, your frustrations and worries and doubts and fears. He can help you. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Hallelujah. Let's worship Him again. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus. For those of you that don't know it, and I'm say this and I'll go, about my crippled foot. It's not sticking out to the side anymore. My knee points the same direction as my foot. That pinched nerve isn't sending pains all through my body anymore. Amen. I'm having some aches and pains with it, but I don't think it's the same problem. It can't be the same problem. It's just in the same area. But I've been walking barefooted too much on this floor, and I find that I get relief when I put shoes on. That seems to make a difference. And the weight situation, I won't talk much about that, but there seems to be a lot of weight bearing down on that foot sometimes. But as I look back now, you see, when I had that problem, at a time that I was being drafted to go to Vietnam, I broke my leg in the same spot when I broke it when I was a child. I had been going to church in a prayer line. My dad had said, every time there's a chance to go get prayed for, he said, if I were in your condition, I would go up front to be prayed for. And I went. I hobbled up there every time they had prayer, every time they anointed people. I went every time. They felt sorry for me. I felt sorry for myself, but I kept going. And I went till I was almost 20 years old, actually about 18. And I just kept going to the prayer lines. Nothing seemed to happen, but I kept going. I kept going. And then we had a church party, and we went skating, and I didn't know how to skate. And I had an accident. My mother didn't know how to skate either, and she and I had a head-on collision with those skates. And we went into a twirl, and I ended up on the floor with a broken leg. And so as they were taking me away in the ambulance, I was groaning, I was hurting, I was in pain, but I was trying to be a sport, and I said, everything's going to be all right, and wait for the people. But I was hurting. Then they put me to sleep, and they worked on that leg. When I came to, they were rolling me down the hall. I'll never forget, looking down, and I was still under medication, but I was waking up, and I looked down at my feet, and both of them were sticking straight up. And my knees were sticking straight up. And although I had a cast on that leg, I noticed my foot was no longer sticking out to the side. And I said to the doctor, my foot's straight. And he smiled as he walked, rolling me down that hall. He said, yes, it is. He said, the break you had was as good as it could be. He said, surgery couldn't have done a better job than what happened when you broke your foot. He said, it was a perfect break that allowed us to correct your problem. He said, in being able to put it back together, he said, in order to have fixed it, we would have had to break it. But he said, you broke it in the way that we would have wanted to break it. I think Jesus had something to do with that. I think Jesus. After all those years, I broke it when I was about 4 years old. And here I am, a teenager, and just got a notice from Uncle Sam. We want you. And I showed up with crutches to go meet Uncle Sam. Amen. A lot of my friends back during those days didn't come back from Vietnam. I may not have come back either. Praise God. But when I went down to see Uncle Sam with my crutches, they laughed at me again. People just laughed. Said, what are you doing here? I said, I got a letter. Said, you want me? I'm wanted. I'm needed. And I was told if I didn't show up, I'd be in trouble. And they said, get out of here. Go back home. You know, that's one time I enjoyed being rejected. Sent me a 4F classification, kept me from having to go fight over there. Not that I don't want to fight for my country, but I really prefer to do something, you know, behind the desk while others go out there on the field. God bless you. Brother Joe.